Good morning, everybody. So, I'm not meant to be standing here right now. Stephen and I were going to team teach this morning. Unfortunately, he can't be here this morning. So, we are continuing our series of Always Christmas and Never Winter, which we started last week. We're going through some of the story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and seeing the parallels in the Bible in the great message of salvation that we have in Jesus. We're doing these 3 weeks in the run-up to Christmas for two key reasons. As Stephen shared last week, to prepare as a church to communicate the gospel through the story of Narnia in February, equipping each one of us to be able to explain the connections between the book and Jesus so that we can bring our friends, but also to recognize that because Jesus came, is here, and will come again, it is a reason to celebrate him always, always Christmas and never winter. And I want to suggest a third reason this morning why it is helpful, and it is this. By understanding some of the allegory and connections with Jesus in Narnia, we might reflect on his greatness here in our normal everyday lives. C.S. Lewis gave a hint in one of his other books, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, in a scene where two of the children, Lucy and Edmund, are saying goodbye to Aslan, the great lion and creator. And they are told that they won't be coming back to Narnia. But he tells them that he is also in their world. He says that, but there, I have another name. You must learn to know me by that name. This was the very reason you were brought to Narnia, that by knowing me here for a little, you may know me better there. Jesus, may we know you better here and now. So I was given the title, The Lion's Roar. In reading up about lions and how or why they roar, I came across a description from someone on a safari park in Africa who said that I have learnt that the lion does not sleep tonight. Who remembers that song? But prefers to spend its time roaring with well-timed intervals to prevent you sleeping, or alternatively waking you up at very early in the morning. The writer also goes on to describe how when the lion roars, instead of being wide awake and alert and running off as you'd expect, often the prey animals just continue about their business. He also talked about how each lion has its own roar. And as a pride, they recognize the roar. A lion's roar can cause fear and awe. It can cause us to run away in fear. And hunting lions often use this to actually drive the prey into the hidden waiting pack of lionesses. But it can also strangely draw us towards the lion in awe and wonder. I don't know how many people have had the chance to be on a safari, but when you hear that roar, you want to go and see. You want to see where the lions are. But what danger there is if we don't heed the lion's roar and just continue about our business as usual. We need to learn to recognize and heed and hear our lion's roar, our God's roar. Now, as a parent, I fiercely love and would do anything for my daughter. But there are also inevitable times of exasperation on both sides, boundaries being pushed, us trying to help her and guide her to make good choices, even if that is sometimes rejected. And even when I at times lose it, as I sometimes often do, or when we have to impose some form of discipline. But nothing through all of that dampens my love for her or my determination to help her learn and grow and thrive. I recently talked with my daughter about the fact that God will eventually judge how people have responded to him. She didn't like that at all. But surely everyone will go to heaven. But then we talked about how would you feel if someone did something really awful to someone we loved? Wouldn't we want justice to be done in that case? That our God is like a roaring lion, a God of justice and might, a God to be feared, seems like a heavy topic for the run-up to Christmas. But I truly believe that as we approach Christmas this year, God wants us to wake up to the reality that he is indeed a God who roars like a lion, and remember that he came not just as a baby, but why he came. He wants us to hear and heed his roar and come to him in awe, reverence, and repentance. We need to hear and heed the lion's roar, God's roar. We need to have a greater awe and reverence for our God, the King of Kings, a holy fear and understanding that he is, yes, a God of such wonderful, incomparable love and compassion and mercy. But he is also a God who will bring judgment. And because of this, may we have a greater passion and desperation for the lost who need to know the Saviour that we are celebrating this Christmas. Making him known and living as fully devoted disciples needs to be more important than the decorations we put up, the presents under the tree, and the meal that we serve on Christmas Day. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but he calls us to be ready. And so many people I love, so many people we all love, don't yet know him. So our key verse this morning is Hosea 11, verse 10, in which we read of the lion's roar as a call to come to him. It says, "They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. And when he roars, his children will come trembling from the west." So when Stephen asked me to speak on the lion's roar with reference to the story of Narnia and the allegory of Aslan, the creator of Narnia, as a metaphor for God, a God who is not safe, but he is good, I started to search the Bible for references to lions. And as a big fan of the Narnia series, I've always loved Aslan, loved the way he was depicted in the TV series and films, unpredictable, anticipated, mysterious, a hoped-for saviour, the willing, blameless sacrifice on the altar, powerful, victorious, and also good. The image of young Lucy hugging him makes me think of a likeable, soft, endearing big cat. And that's generally what sticks in my mind when I think of Aslan and Narnia. Somewhere in my subconscious, that's where I choose to focus, rather than on the fierce lion who defeated the White Witch in battle and her evil horde. However, as I work my way through scripture, most of the references to lions and are of a creature to be feared, often used by God to punish, to destroy his enemies, often with graphic descriptions, hungry, merciless, crouching, ready to pounce. The devil is described as prowling around like a roaring lion. Proverbs says that the king's rage is like the roar of a lion. Then there are prophecies about God's people being victorious as a lion, like in Micah 5. There are strange stories about lions, such as Samson eating honey from the carcass of a lion. What was that about? Daniel being thrown into a lion's den, a prophet who listened to what another prophet told him to do, instead of doing what God had previously told him to do, and then being killed by a lion on his way home. There are future prophecies about the hope for peace that we have, such as where the lion will eat straw like an ox. And there is the blessing of Jacob on his son Judah in Genesis 49 that describes him as a lion in a passage that's seen as a messianic prophecy about the coming Messiah, Jesus. And indeed, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of the tribe of Judah. And in Revelation, as we sang in the song just now, he is described as the Lion of Judah, a name we're very familiar with. But one verse that stood out was this verse in Hosea, that he will follow the Lord, they will follow the Lord, and he will roar like a lion, and when he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. Here, the lion's roar is something fearful, but also it's a call to come. It's set in the context of the book of Hosea, which is a warning to God's people who have gone their own way and rejected him. God calls Hosea to marry a promiscuous woman as an illustration of how his people are like an adulterous wife, but how he still loves them, and he will take them back and save them. In Amos 3, verse 7 and 8, we also read of the lion's roar as a call to fear the Lord and respond to him, to hear and to prophesy, that is to speak what he tells us to. The other two references to God as a lion in Hosea are again about his punishment and vengeance. What does it mean for us as we prepare to celebrate Christmas and to share the gospel hope through the allegorical Narnia stories at the event in February? Well, just as the beavers replied to Lucy at Narnia about Aslan, of course he's not safe, but he's good. So as we celebrate Jesus coming as a baby in a manger, we need to remember that he is also, one, the God who spoke creation into being. A God of justice and authority, he will come again to judge. And the pure, spotless Lamb who gave himself as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins so that none should perish. So firstly, he is the God who spoke creation into being. Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, the Lion of Judah, is also the Word who spoke creation into being. I love the first book, The Magician's Nephew, and I love the scene when Aslan sings creation into being. And that image of Jesus, the Word, in the beginning with God. Whilst at Christmas time we tend to mostly read the nativity accounts in Matthew and Luke's Gospels, we need to remember that John starts his Gospel with a description of Jesus as the Word, our Creator God, who existed in the beginning with God and who was God, and through whom all things were made, and who brought light in the darkness. In Revelation 4, we read that he is holy, like we were singing just now, and that as our Creator God, he is worthy of all glory, honor, and power, for he created all things. Secondly, he is the God of justice and authority. He will come again to judge. As I mentioned, the other two lion references in Hosea, like many others throughout Scripture, are not pleasant reading. When God warns his people, a people he loved, but a people who had wandered from his best way for living and loving with no one to rescue them. God speaks to them, warning them that there will be consequences to their rebellion and sin. He warns them graphically of what he is like as a judge and uses a lion to illustrate both the strength and completeness of his judgment. But he also says, until they have borne their guilt and seek my face, in their misery, they will earnestly seek me. The image of God as a lion in Scripture isn't just a victorious, powerful, on our side illustration, but the Holy Spirit, speaking through the prophet Hosea, illustrates God's passionate commitment to his holiness and to the holiness of his people. He will act like a lion to bring about justice and consequence for their sin. However, God also calls, like a lion, those who will return to him. And we also read in Hosea of his love and compassion for his rebellious people. He says in 11, verse 8 and 9, my heart is changed within me. All my compassion, I will not carry out my fierce anger. And as you read Hosea, you get that feeling of God's love and passion and heartache for his people. Is there something that God is challenging you about this morning, me about this morning? Is there something in your own life that he is calling you to repent of? Do you have a burden for someone you know who is not heeding the lion's roar? Let's pray. Do you have a desperation to see God's kingdom come, his will done in our broken and rebellious nation? Let's pray for our nation. Ask God to break your heart and mine for what breaks his. Intercede for the lost, that God would show mercy. Let's just take a moment to just pray quietly and reflect. And thirdly, Jesus is the pure, spotless Lamb who gave himself as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins, so none should perish. In Revelation 5, Jesus is described as the Lion of Judah, but also appears as a lamb who has been slaughtered. Now, I'm not going to go into the Revelation passages and the prophetic content there, but we are familiar with that description as the lion and the lamb. And in Hosea 6 and Hosea 12, I believe he also references Jesus' death and resurrection, through which he will heal us, bind up our wounds, and restore us. He calls us to him and to show love and justice and mercy to others. He says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. Sounds like something Paul would say. Let us press on. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. He says, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. In 12 verse 6, he says, but you must return to your God. Maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. He is calling us to hear and heed the lion's roar. How do we do this? We return to God. Come trembling and follow the Lord. We sang in the first service, we sang one of the Christmas carols that talks about the shepherds coming trembling to Jesus. They had that awesome experience of seeing the angels, and they came in fear and trembling and awe and reverence to worship Jesus. He calls us to do that this morning. Wait for your God always. Press on. Keep running the race. Press on to acknowledge him. The lion's roar is not just a warning, but it's also an invitation. Secondly, revere God. Give him glory and honor. Worship him. And reveal God. Maintain love and justice and show mercy. Reveal him through how we live. Tell others of all that he has done. And why is this important as we prepare to celebrate another Christmas? As I said earlier, Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but he calls us to be ready. Like the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, 5 had their lamps all trimmed, the oil filled and ready, so that when the bridegroom returned, they went into the celebration with him. 5 of them were not ready and got left outside. So when he comes back, he will come back to bring justice to the world and just judgment. The lion roars. Will we be ready? And will we help others to be ready too? I believe that God is reminding us that at Christmas, whilst at Christmas, we celebrate that he came to earth through his son Jesus, taking on human form in humility as a baby. We are not to forget or trivialize who he is or why he came. We need to hear and heed the lion's roar. He didn't first appear on the world stage as a baby. Jesus is the Word through whom all creation was spoken into existence. We need to hear and heed the lion's roar and give him glory and honor. He isn't a cute baby or a passive, cuddly pussycat. He is like a lion. He is a king of kings. He is a God of justice and authority. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We need to heed the lion's roar and repent and be ready. Whilst it is right to come trembling in awe and reverence of a holy and righteous God who will hold us to account and will be like a fierce and dangerous lion to those who reject him out of their pride, he has made a way for us to be redeemed and restored and forgiven. Jesus, the Lion of Judah, of the line of David, gave his life as the pure, spotless lamb, the perfect sacrifice, to pay the price for our sin, to revive and restore us, and he will come again. We need to hear and heed the lion's roar and worship him through lives that press on to live for him and tell of all he's done.